It's Thursday, August 11th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, U.S. presidential politics has made yet another strange turn in this most unusual campaign.
The arrival of these missile launchers, and I hasten to add they are not yet armed, provide a defensive shield, but also a threat to attack Chinese airstrips that are in their range nearby.
Tensions mount in the South China Sea. Also ahead, a competition for international athletes not at the Olympics. And new music from a familiar pop star. It's all on today's International Edition. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump accused the media of distorting a comment that he made Tuesday about gun rights, and that many took to mean he was suggesting violence against his Democratic opponent Hillary Clinton. With a vacancy on the nation's Supreme Court and the potential for the next president to name several new justices, Trump said Clinton would decimate the Second Amendment, which guarantees Americans the right to bear arms. But the Clinton campaign considered Trump's comment more ominous. Danny Hayes is an associate professor of political science at George Washington University and a former journalist. VOA's Sarah Williams asked him whether American politics has seen anything like the inflammatory rhetoric witnessed in this presidential campaign.
Certainly there have been campaigns in the past that have been far more vitriolic even than the campaign that we're having now. You had campaigns in the 1800s where opponents were accusing each other of having murdered citizens and things like that. This is obviously different, and it's unusual in that Trump said something like this that was so prominent and so public and seemed to encourage violence against either Hillary Clinton or against her potential judicial nominees. It's unclear, I think, which of those he was referring to in his comments. But it's certainly in keeping with Trump's approach of trying to make headlines by making outlandish statements, and in this case, an offhand remark, and then claiming that he didn't actually say what he said or mean what he said.
Some people said that what he was doing was a dog whistle, which is sort of a coded message to followers who, say, National Rifle Association members who are worried about former Secretary Clinton becoming president, that she would take, you know, the rights to own their guns away from them.
I actually think this was more overt than that. And so I think that's, again, part of the reason that it has caused even a lot of Republicans, people who have supported him, to criticize what he said, because I think it's largely seen appropriately as outside the bounds of appropriate politics.
There are some people, particularly some Republicans, very concerned about how this could impact other candidates that are, what they say, lower down on the ballot, those running for the Senate or the Congress.
Yeah, and I think that's a legitimate concern. To the extent that Trump becomes representative of the Republican Party, I think there are some Republicans themselves that are obviously uncomfortable with him and might be somewhat more reticent to support other Republican candidates if they believe that they would become part of a Trump-Republican Party in Washington were Trump to win. I also think that part of the challenge that Trump has is that not only does he have relatively weak support among Republican elites that, you know, again, is sort of sending weaker signals to Republicans in the public about whether they should support Trump or not. But there's also doesn't seem to be a real aggressive effort to turn out Republican voters. And so what you might end up with in November is a lower Republican turnout than we might expect in a more ordinary election. That could hurt down ballot candidates, Senate candidates, or congressional candidates who need Republican voters to turn out and cast ballots for them.
Danny Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at George Washington University. Time now for our social media segment. As always, our G. Abby Lee joins me here in the studio with what's trending online. Hi, G.
Hi, Jim.
So we're veering a bit away from checking out the online buzz to our top story today, right?
That's right. There's a trending hashtag that's gaining a lot of popularity both on Twitter and on Facebook, so I thought I would talk about that. Mm-hmm. It's the hashtag #quityourjobin5words hashtag, which people can use to describe what they are going to say when they quit their job. One of the most popular tweets using that hashtag is by a local news anchor in Arizona. Lena DeFlores tweeted, "I am out for eternity leave." Almost 1,000 people liked that tweet so far. Another popular one is hashtag can't work weekends or weekdays.
Okay.
Last but not least is a GIF of a woman shouting, I don't need this, okay? My man has two jobs. So the five words would be, my man has two jobs. Mm-hmm. So much for feminism, right?
Right.
Actually, another good one has a Pokemon Go reference, and it's called Want to Catch Them All.
Actually, if her man has two jobs, she's liberated.
That's true.
Well, what's the media reaction like?
Well, CNN Money and other media outlets have posted about it on social media, and one of the most liked comments reads like this. Hashtag thank you for the opportunity. Leave on good terms if possible. Never know who you may run into in the future or when you'll need a good reference. Mm.
Well, there's another bit of news that's being broadcast live right now.
The one that we're watching right now, actually. Mm-hmm. Twitter users are posting reactions to a man climbing the Trump Tower in Manhattan. Apparently, he's a Virginia man named Steve, and he's climbing the 68-story skyscraper using suction cups. But it's unclear why he's scaling the building. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Hillary Clinton doesn't have a building, so I guess maybe because it's there.
Yeah, just to be on TV.
Right.
So a man named Tom wrote on Facebook, they clearly need to build a wall around Trump Tower. That's all for me today. Jim, back to you.
Well, thank you very much, G. And as we monitor that, it appears he's coming very close to a stage of the building where there are several police officers. So maybe his climb will be stopped at that point. Thanks for the great wrap-up. You may tweet us your comments and questions to our Twitter stream at @VOA_IE. You'll find myself and G on Twitter at VOA Stevenson and at G Abby Lee. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia, legal experts say Thai military looking to extend government oversight. Bangladesh sentences ex-MP to death for war crimes in 1971. Leaked reports say incidents widespread in Australian immigration camp. Record new HIV cases in Philippines prompt call for action. Orangutans become refugees from deforestation and poaching. Find expanded coverage of these stories and much more at our voanews.com website and also via our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. Vietnam has reportedly deployed mobile rocket launchers on bases in the Spratly Islands in the disputed South China Sea, designed to counter China's recent buildup on reclaimed islands in the archipelago. Vietnam's foreign ministry calls the Reuters report inaccurate. The report was published as U.S. State Department spokeswoman Elizabeth Trudeau was asked about recent satellite imagery that shows Chinese have reinforced aircraft hangars on Fiery Cross, Subi, and Mischief Reefs in the Spratlys.
I would say that this type of potentially dual-use construction activity has raised tensions in the region. It also calls into question China's willingness to abide by President Xi's statement last September that China does not intend to militarize its outposts in the Spratly. Such actions undermine regional confidence that China is willing to resolve contested matters in a non-coercive manner. We reiterate, as we have in the past, our call for all claimants to halt land reclamation in disputed areas and further development of new facilities and new militarization of their outposts, and instead to utilize the opportunity presented by the July 12th Arbitral Tribunal's decision to reach an understanding on appropriate behavior and activities in disputed areas.
She also said the U.S. is closely monitoring Chinese ship activity around disputed islands in the East China Sea. A UN arbitration panel last month found no legal basis for China's sweeping sovereignty claims in the South China Sea. University of New South Wales Professor Emeritus Carl Thayer tells VOA's Victor Beatty Vietnam's action is potentially the biggest breach in the 2002 Declaration on Conduct of Parties, which calls for restraint and avoid escalating tensions.
Up until now, Vietnam's defensive posture has been very, very low-keyed and very low-tech. So the arrival of these missile launchers, and I hasten to add they are not yet armed, provide a defensive shield but also a threat to attack Chinese airstrips that are in their range nearby.
What might the response from China be? Obviously, it'll see this report.
Yes, it will, but I think two things are happening simultaneously. Vietnam apparently undertook to move these missile launchers before the arbitration tribunal came down. And at the same time, China began constructing and is now completing hangars on all three of its separate airstrips, each 3 kilometers long, to house multi-role jet fighters and even bombers, electronic warfare planes, and refuelers. And these hangars are nearing completion. So I think you're having an action-reaction cycle that each side sees what the other is doing. But as other analysts have noted, that China has done this with relative impunity, fearing only the United States. And now a nearby state can damage those airstrips and make them inoperable in a crisis situation.
What is Vietnam's motive?
Well, it's defensive. They expected a rise of tensions and bad Chinese behavior after the arbitral tribunal came down. They couldn't expect that the tribunal would decide so decisively in the Philippines case. And Vietnam, in all my visits, fears they have 21 features that they occupy. These are tiny little pieces. They're indefensible, that one day, if China desires, it could occupy one or more. And that would undercut the legitimacy of the Communist Party and its hold on power, because it's supposed to be guarding against nationalism. And the population in Vietnam is at a red heat against China.
Is Vietnam prepared to defend these islands?
Well, they claim they are, but of course these missile launchers are just one part of the puzzle. Vietnam has 5 and will be taking on 6 advanced Kilo-class submarines with heavy torpedoes, with anti-ship cruise missiles. They're acquiring drones, which would serve as the targeting feature for these rockets that they have on the island. They have land-based artillery, the Bastion system, that can move out and cover the exclusive economic zone of Vietnam. And they also have the advanced, like China does, the Su-30 multi-role fighter aircraft that can fire anti-air, anti-ship missiles. So Vietnam has created a kind of deterrent force, not a force that would prevail in a conflict, but one that would bloody Chinese nose, and in the expectation that the international community would step in, because the vital sea lanes in the South China Sea would be effective and thus disrupt the global economy.
Carl Thayer, University of New South Wales Professor Emeritus. With the Rio Olympics golf tournament underway, many top players decided to skip the event, with some mentioning concerns about the Zika virus. But that's not stopping them from playing, as a very international field tees off in the annual John Deere Classic. With more from Silvis, Illinois, is George McNeely.
This is the 46th year the PGA Tour is in the Quad Cities, and it's fair to say the event continues to grow in stature and in the hearts of the people of the heartland of America. Just listen to last year's Open Championship winner, Zach Johnson, who won this event in 2012.
I'm certainly comfortable with these greens and the bent grass. I'm certainly experienced here, and, you know, I've had some good low rounds, so I think with that comes confidence. Oftentimes confidence, like I've said, can breed momentum. It can just carry over week to week, month to month, year to year. All that being said, I mean, I've embraced the fact that it's a fun week for me, because I have family, I have friends that come out, you know, and it doesn't matter if I shoot 78 or 62 here, they're still going to cheer me on, and that's pretty special.
Johnson, who also captured the Masters in 2007, is joined by another regional favorite, Steve Stricker, who won the John Deere Classic back-to-back-to-back from 2009 to 2011.
It's been fun again, kind of getting back into the swing of things, playing some better golf of late.
With a later date this year, due to the Olympics, the John Deere Classic was provided extra sponsor exemptions from the PGA Tour. And as usual, tournament director Claire Peterson used them very wisely, inviting the likes of Jordan Abrugi, Aaron Wise, Charlie Danielson, and this man, John Rahm of Spain.
There's a lot of us here. I mean, it's me, you have Wise, as you said, Danielson, Jordan Abrugi, Robbie Shelton. All of them real quality players have beaten me many times before in college. So, I mean, there's a lot of good young players, but there's obviously a lot of other great players. You know, Steve Stricker has a pretty good record here, Zach Johnson. So, I mean, obviously, as any week, anybody could win, but they did give us the opportunity to some young players to maybe get our first week here.
And one of the best stories from the John Deere Classic is that since 1998, when John Deere became title sponsor, more than $50 million has been raised for area charities in the Quad Cities. For VOA Sports, George McNeely, Silvis, Illinois.
And we've got more on our website at voanews.com, Olympic updates from Rio de Janeiro, and also follow our podcast called The Game Room, which I host. Also, more Olympic news right there as well. You can follow us on Twitter at @VOA_IE and like us on Facebook at VOA Now. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.
News happens around the clock. And VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on The Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.
This is VOA's International Edition. You may have heard, a star singer is back with a new album and a single. We find out more from International Edition's Sarah Williams and VOA Border Crossings host Larry London.
Britney Spears has a brand new album coming out. It's her ninth album. It's called Glory, going on sale August 26th. Britney's had quite an illustrious career since her first album in 1999, Baby One More Time. She's gone on to sell over 100 million albums. And she's back. She's been working in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood and raking in the dough. So it's quite a comeback story. Britney, you know, who was at the very bottom of despair back in 2008 when she suffered a breakdown, she's rebounded nicely and rebuilt her career. A lot of people just can't do what she's managed to do, but she's back and raising two beautiful kids, Sean and Jaden. And the new album comes out, as I said, in a couple of weeks. We're all excited about it. She's got a song out already, and the new song is called Make Me. There's a little bit of controversy about this song already because there's a new video which was just released for the song, and apparently the original video, which they had planned to release, became too sexual. They just thought this is not appropriate. So they filmed another one, and her fans heard there was a first edition. And now they're circulating a petition to get the first one released. They want to see what this sexually explicit video is all about.
Well, maybe they can have both videos.
That would be a good idea, too. She's got a new song that is just coming out this week. It's called Clumsy from the new album. And not only that, she's very busy in other areas of her career, including perfume. She has a new perfume fragrance out. Now, when she started with her perfume line in 2004, it was kind of a novelty thing to do. Celine Dion and several others were releasing perfume fragrances. She released one called Curious, and it made $100 million. So
wow.
It was much more than just a novelty.
Yeah.
And now she's put out her 20th fragrance, which is called Private Show. Very interesting name for a perfume fragrance, but 20. You smell pretty good if you've got 20 perfumes to pick from.
That's quite a lucrative sideline for
yes,
an
entertainer. Yes, it is. If each one's making millions and millions, absolutely. Which is why she earned $58 million this past year alone. And so let's give this song a listen. This is the latest. It's called Make Me.
I'm dreaming of my limit by somebody. This feeling, I want to go with it because there's no way we're hiding away from this tonight.
You know, we haven't heard quite as much about Britney in the last few years.
And she seems to be coming back. She's been working regularly in Las Vegas, doing one of those regular shows at the Planet Hollywood. They loved her so much after her first 2 years, they signed her to a 2-year extension. So she continues to sell out. It's a Piece of Me show. She was the best-selling teenage artist of all time in the 1990s. And she continues to sell. She makes it to every list, every annual list. V Magazine's doing a story on her right now. And so she remains in the mainstream. She keeps herself current. She knows how to manipulate the system. She put a video out of herself in Hawaii on a yacht, topless. She didn't show her front. She was from the back. But, you know, she's there on vacation currently with her two sons, having a good time. And her videos attract millions and millions of views. She was named the Millennium Award winner at the Billboard Awards this year. She performed at the show this year. And she says her inspiration comes from Madonna and Janet Jackson.
Quite a combination there.
Love her music. Love Britney Spears and everything she stands for. She's kind of been very, you know, she's survived. She's succeeded in spite of it all. She's a comeback kid, so to speak. So I love what she does, and her music's not offensive. And, you know, she's had some highs and some lows. She's done some things she's not too proud of. But right now, she said the new album, which, as I mentioned, is called Glory, coming out August 26th, she says, is her best work yet.
All right. Thanks very much. That's Border Crossing's host, Larry London.
Just want you to make me move like it ain't a choice for you, like you got a job to do. Just want you to raise my roof. Something sensational.
You've been listening to International Edition, and as always, you can find us on our website. VOAnews.com is the place to go. You can stream, download, whatever you want. Like us on Facebook as well at VOA Now. Follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Carl Starling. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you have a great day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Russian aggression continues in eastern Ukraine. According to U.S. Ambassador to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, Daniel Baer, the situation in eastern Ukraine remains grim. Combined Russian separatist forces have claimed the lives of more than 63 Ukrainian soldiers and wounded some 327 more since June 1st. This bloodshed is eroding confidence on the ground and hardening attitudes, said Ambassador Baer. This violence needs to stop. That's why the United States strongly supports the OSCE's efforts and those in the Normandy format to find a peaceful solution to the conflict in eastern Ukraine caused by Russia's aggression. The Special Monitoring Mission, or SMM, must have access to disengagement sites and throughout the conflict zone, including up to the international border. Restrictions on their movement regularly occur along the parts of Ukraine's internationally recognized border with Russia that are under the control of combined Russian separatist forces. The SMM continues to identify clear and continuing evidence of Russia's direct involvement with Russian separatist forces. The SMM continues to find weapons systems in separatist-held territory that are only in Russia's arsenal. Moreover, OSCE monitors have recorded large numbers of individuals in military-style dress crossing the internationally recognized border from Russia into separatist-held parts of Ukraine. Only a credible ceasefire will protect civilians from greater harm and create the conditions that will allow Ukraine to move forward with the political aspects of the Minsk agreement. President Barack Obama and other U.S. officials have been clear with Russian President Vladimir Putin that sanctions will remain in place until Moscow fully implements its Minsk commitments. Crimea-related sanctions will remain until the peninsula is returned to Ukraine.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.